Hi, I'm Marcy Fox.
And I'm Tanner Griffin.
And this is the All Connected Podcast.
Hello, friends. This is Tanner, one of your co-hosts of the All Connected Podcast. Just wanted to take a moment here today to introduce a bonus episode of sorts. I know we've said in the past that we want to do weekly podcast episodes, and that hasn't happened for many different reasons, which we'll probably get into in future episodes. But today I wanted to share with you just a bonus episode. It's actually a recording of one of our worship gatherings at the church that I pastor at. So it's a sermon recording. And the first part of it is just me doing my preacher thing, doing a little Bible teaching and all that. But the last part of the sermon is something a little bit different, where I actually invited Marcy, the other co-host, although some would say sidekick or silent partner, to this podcast. Actually had Marcy come up, and we just kind of had a conversation about the importance of sharing your story. In churchy world, we call it testimony, but sharing your story of what God is up to, and the power of being vulnerable. And we talked about it through her event that she had put on a while back called the Warrior Speaker Series, in which she invited several people to come and just share their stories. And so it was a really fun conversation, kind of birthed the idea from our podcast time together. So it has a little bit of the podcast feel, although it was during a church service, so we don't pick on each other quite as much. But I wanted to share that with you guys, and I want you to know that we do have more podcast episodes coming very, very soon. We've got a few recorded that we'll be kicking out soon, and recording many, many more. So stay tuned. But here is a sermon recording from Windmac Church of the Nazarene about the importance of sharing your story with others. So hope you enjoy it. Well, good morning. I want you to know that one of the things I stress and am anxious about every single Sunday is the timing of the sermon bumper video. Like, what time do I start walking up here so I'm not hanging around here awkwardly? I never get it right. But it's good to be with you. I'm glad you are here with us this morning as we continue our sermon series, Peace for Pulaski, as we look not just at ideas about what God could do, not ideas of what maybe we sit back and wish somebody would do, but we look at how our church, our faith community, our very own lives of faith can have a direct impact on the lives of our neighbors, our families, our friends, our coworkers. And so each week, not only do we look at scripture and stories from the Bible thousands of years ago, but we try to take that and funnel it through our own lives and say, what does that look like lived out in our neighborhoods, in our communities, and try and find something very practical and very tangible. And so this week we continue in that. We have several more weeks in this sermon series, and I hope you grab a hold of the idea that this is more than just a summer sermon series that will come and go, but is kind of a root in our mission and identity of who we are as a church. So I'm excited about the worship time at the park after this, partnering with our friends over at the Methodist Church, and just doing something together as part of the community. As we start this morning, I want to ask, do we have any history buffs? Anybody that likes history? Anybody? Nah. I don't mean the class. A history class, that was never my favorite thing, right? Right? Ooh, right, I mean, yeah, history class is something else, right? We memorize dates and stuff on a map, and that's no fun. But, like, the stories of history, right? The events, the context, how the things connect, how things went one way and they could have gone another way, or how these different cultures or societies clash together and it comes out with something totally new. Or, I mean, history is exciting for me. I said history buff. That's kind of the nice way of saying history nerd or history geek or whatever. I love history. And so it's oftentimes that as I'm digging into the biblical text each week, or doing some study on my own just for random stuff, not necessarily sermon related, that I kind of stumble across history that really has nothing to do specifically with that text by itself. But when you start kind of stepping back and getting a bigger picture and getting a bigger picture and stepping back even further, you're like, oh, this really shapes the story. This is one of those scriptures for us, what we'll be looking at today. Are we familiar with a guy named Alexander the Great? Have you heard of him? I heard he's pretty great. He was a leader in the Greek world, and he conquered much of what was the known world at this time. Like, he was a tremendous leader, and he had a goal of creating the whole world into a Greek world. And so when they would conquer a territory, he'd try and set up and establish cities that reflected the Greek value, the Greek way of life. So there'd be the gymnasium, which was kind of the hub of Greek education. He would set up Greek places of worship and governments. And so you have this all over the world. You have Greek-influenced culture because Alexander the Great had this mission of going out and shaping the world. Well, he died 150 years or so before Jesus came on the scene. And so by the time Jesus shows up in the first century, the Greek influence had already kind of shaped the world and kind of had faded, because what happens when a great leader like Alexander the Great dies, his followers or his, you know, generals or whatever, they kind of carve up the territory and fight over who gets what and who's going to control what. So that had kind of already happened. And then the Roman world kind of came to prominence. The Roman emperor kind of took on a new role and started conquering these Greek territories. But during the end of Alexander's reign, there was this area outside, just outside of Israel, called the Decapolis, that was created. And it's a very Greek-sounding name. Deca, meaning 10, and polis, meaning city, where we get our word for politics. Or, you know, you see it tapped onto the back of words all over the place, like Indianapolis, right? So it's on there. Decapolis, it means 10 cities. So it's this region just outside of Israel where there's these 10 city-states that, while they were independent, they kind of worked together. Okay, so that's outside of Israel. But when Rome came to prominence, they invaded. They wanted to take over the Greek world. They wanted to institute their own view on things. And so there's this Jewish historian by the name of Josephus. I don't know if anybody's probably ever heard of Josephus. But he records much of what we know about Israel around the time of Jesus. He was a historian at the time. And he records in his book called Of the War For, that's the name of it. And in chapter 9, he talks about this invading army that comes into this town of Gerasa. And the leader kills 1,000 men. And these weren't huge cities. Don't think Chicago or New York City. Think, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people cities. And he kills 1,000 men. The leaders of that city, the powerful men of Gerasa, leave. They flee. They're given the opportunity to run, and they take it. And then the Roman military burns the houses and destroys the city of what's left, and then starts rebuilding it in their own design and whatever. So imagine being in the city of Gerasa and having this Roman army show up, and they have perfected the war machine. The Romans were extremely cruel. They brought peace to the world by conquering it. The cross that Jesus is crucified on is a product of the Roman war machine. It was, how do you kill somebody in the most painful, torturous way that also shows the world that you mean business? So Rome had perfected the war machine. And so these people of Gerasa have seen their leaders flee, their powerful people they trusted and respected run off. They see their families killed and destroyed, and those who were left, their homes were burnt. And these were people that had seen and experienced the worst of the worst. And they were in this city called Gerasa, and those people were called Gerasenes. And so this area is just across the Sea of Galilee from Israel. Okay, so where the main stories of Jesus takes place. And there's this story in the Bible that if you just start at the beginning of the scripture, you don't think any big deal. Jesus is teaching. He's doing the things that Jesus does. He's healing people. There's crowds following him. He does all these types of things. There's miracles. And then he tells his disciples, these very Jewish, rural Jewish friends that have been following him, that have probably never been anywhere bigger than maybe a place like Winnemac in their entire life. He tells them, just, and if you don't know the backdrop, you don't see the significance of this. He says, let's get in the boat and go to the other side, meaning the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And in your mind, it's like, oh, he's just going to take a boat ride. But in the first century Jewish world, he meant, let's go to the Decapolis. Let's go to this Greek world that had been conquered by the Romans. It would be like getting in a boat and going to a completely different world, right? For these Jewish people, it would have been crossing this, I mean, obviously it's a physical boundary, but it was a world boundary too. They entered into a whole different world as they crossed over. And it talks about the waves of the water being chaotic and frightening and dangerous. And there's the story of Jesus calming the waves on the way over and all this stuff. And then the next thing it says is they get on to the other shore. And when they get to the land and they kind of make their way onto land, they encounter this man who was from Gerasa. He was a Gerasene. The Bible says that Jesus told his disciples, let's go across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes, this place that had not much earlier in their history been conquered by the Romans and experienced this great, great defeat and tragedy. So they encounter this man who is demon-possessed. He's living amongst the tombs. And in hearing the story as a kid growing up, you think, oh, the tombs, that's he's just living in a cemetery. But you think of if an army shows up into your city and kills a fifth of your population, the tombs are a constant reminder of you're a defeated person, you're a defeated people, right? So he just was living in a cemetery, but it's also this image of you're living in the reminder of the destruction that you've experienced, the pain and the loss, the grief. And he's living there, and it says chains won't hold him. He cannot be bound. The people that are around him are afraid of him. They don't know what to do with him. He's demon-possessed. And Jesus and his disciples have crossed the lake, entered into this Greek world controlled by the Romans, and he shows up, and Jesus starts talking to this man possessed by demons. And immediately, this man possessed by demons says to Jesus, I know you're the Son of God. Like, don't torture me. Don't hurt me. What do you want with us? Why do you have business with us? He's leery of this foreigner coming into his place, exerting power. He's very cautious about what is this outsider going to do when he shows up in my land and in my world. And Jesus asks him what his name is. And the demonic possessed man says his name is Legion, which means many. It's part of the reason why I said it is because he's been controlled by these spirits, many spirits, demonic spirits. But legion is also the word for a Roman military unit, right? And so it's this backdrop. The first hearers of this story would have heard this is, yeah, it's a demon-possessed man, but it's the thumb of an empire is on top of him, and the tragedy and the loss and the grief and just probably the fear that lives in these people would be right there kind of beneath the surface. And Jesus talks to this demon-possessed man, and he casts out the demons, and they go into pigs, yes. Right? I mean, some of you have heard the story. He goes into the pigs, which would have been unclean to Jewish people, and the pigs run and jump off a cliff into the water, right? And it was a lot of pigs, and this was, going to be a big story. And so this is where our scripture actually picks up today. Just have a few verses, and I don't think it's going to be on the screen. We had some issues with it loading this morning. But it's coming from Luke chapter 8. It's only a handful of verses, so I'll read it, or you can follow along in your Bibles. But Luke chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. So what's happened is the pigs have run off the cliff, and some of the farmers have gone into the city to tell people what they saw. Okay. And so Luke chapter 8, verse 35 says, "And the people went out to see what happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people in the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got in the boat and he left. And the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. If you would pray with me. Father, we thank you for your words this morning. The scripture that tells a story of Jesus' encounter with this man. We ask that not only we would learn about something that happened 2,000 years ago between this man living amongst tombs and Jesus, but that the story would become alive in our hearts and in our souls, and we could see what the Spirit is doing in this story and allow that same Spirit to work in us today. We ask that you use this time for your glory. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Right, so Jesus had gone across the lake. Like, we've got the backdrop. We've got this Gerasene man who had probably been witness to all types of tragedy and probably had experienced loss and grief and all of those things. And he's kind of representative of all the people in this region. But it's just interesting as you read through this story, especially the scripture part I read, where Jesus shows up and heals a man. And the people's response to this Jesus was fear. They were overwhelmed and controlled by fear to the point that they wanted him to go away. Here is Jesus who came all the way across through chaotic waters to this foreign land, who brought healing to this man who that they had no idea what to do with. He was the most broken man of all of them, the most demon-possessed, the one who struggled the most amongst themselves, and Jesus healed that one. And they were so overwhelmed with fear that they said, "This one who has healed us needs to go. This one that can bring healing has to go because we're just afraid of him." Jesus tells the man then to go tell his story. He doesn't tell him to go get theological training. Don't come with me for 6 months and then go back. Don't follow me for a year. It's really one of the weird times where the guy says, "I want to follow you, Jesus." And Jesus says, "No, don't follow me. Go away and do something else." Jesus tells this man to go tell his story, not to get theological training, not to become a minister, not to become an expert on Torah or the law, but to go and tell your story amongst your people. Go to your hometown, who desperately needed to hear what God could do. They were so afraid of Jesus, of this outsider who had a power, about this outsider who could bring change, real healthy change that could restore brokenness, that could enter into the situation that desperately needed God's presence. But they saw Jesus as a threat because they've been so traumatized by their life. And so Jesus, instead of saying, "Well, come with me, we're going to do this thing together," he turns the story upside down and says, "They don't accept me here. They don't know my story. They don't know who I am. I'm a foreigner. I'm an outsider. I'm Jewish. I come from a different world across the lake. But you, they know you. They know your story. They know what you were just hours ago. They know your struggles. They know your hurts and your brokenness. You go tell them what God has done." And he did. It says he went all over town telling them how much Jesus had done for him. I'm sure his story wasn't super theological. I'm sure he didn't know doctrine and dogma. I'm sure he didn't know Old Testament Bible from front to back. But it's important to know that Jesus wasn't asking him to. That the witness of, I once was this, and Jesus entered in, and now I've experienced this, and it changes things. What God can do is such an important story for this man to tell. Sometimes I think we get caught up thinking for ourselves that if I know a little bit more, if I had a little bit more biblical training, or if I had a little bit more time in church, or if I read the right books, or if I knew the right things to say, then God could use me. But here is Jesus talking to a stranger who wanted to go with him, and he says, "No, just go tell your story. Just go tell your story of what God can do to a people that desperately needed to hear that God can change, that God can show up when you least expect it into the most broken and difficult and dark places and can bring real change. And so part of this Peace for Pulaski sermon series, like I said a few moments ago, is not to just give ideas or to put a weight or a burden on a group of people to say, well, you all should be doing stuff. Go figure out what to do. I don't want to do that. I'm very cautious about that when I invite people to do things, that I'm not just leaving you with a question of, well, now what am I supposed to do? So last week we talked about doing good deeds, that our faith in Jesus, our faith in God, overflows into the world through a life that is shaped by God. And one of the things I talked about last week was the food pantry, how like that can be a way in which our good works flows out of us, right? So very practical. I want to help us as a church see real steps we can do. If I do this, then this is maybe one outlet, one way I can be faithful. But this week I want to do something a little bit different. I'm actually going to get rid of the podium because we're going to have a conversation. I've asked Marcy Fox to come and talk with us for a minute. I have some questions for her. And part of the reason I've asked Marcy to come chat with me today is, and many of you might know Marcy and some of you might not. Let me grab my notes so I say the right things. Yeah. Marcy is a native to Winnemac. She has a story which takes her elsewhere. But about 2 years ago, she came back home. And I don't want to tell her story for her. But one of the things she did was start a series called the Warrior Speaker Series, in which she invited people to tell their story. And the community turned out to listen to stories. And so that was kind of my introduction to Marcy. How I got to know her was through conversations about the Warrior Speaker Series and what that looks like in the community. Marcy's been part of our worship team here for months now and is part of the small group that I'm in that meets during the week. And she's helped kind of do some stuff behind the scenes with the church and is going to take some steps forward with our Next Steps ministry and help people find how to take their next steps in faith. And so she's one of us. And we've been talking membership and life's gotten crazy and we haven't figured out all that stuff. But anyways, I want to invite Marcy to come on up and Kyle told me to give him a sign of which microphone. Did you get that? It's one,
number
two,
three. Testing
there,
number three.
There we go. But I just want to have a conversation with Marcy for a few minutes. Yeah, we're doing all right. There's the thing at the park, so we know we need to keep going. But so part of your story is, for career, you ended up in Nevada doing stuff, and then you moved to South Carolina, and you did stuff in a telecommunications company, right, for a while, and you were general manager of a facility. And about 2 years ago, some changes happened, and you made the decision to come back to Winnemac and kind of see where things go from there, right? So when we were talking about kind of the timing of things, and you were telling me your story a little bit, kind of stuck out that one of the first things you did when you came back to Winnemac was start this Warrior Speaker Series. And I thought, well, that's kind of a weird thing to start with, right? Like, oh, I'm going to come back home and figure out what's next for me. But you immediately started work with Cindy on this Warrior Speaker Series. So could you just give us a little bit of a high-level view of what that Warrior Speaker Series was, and then really why you felt like that was something you wanted to start with?
So the Warrior Speaker Series is actually probably what brought me home. As you said, I had been in corporate for about 7 years, and I'd went from Nevada 5 years, South Carolina for 2, and I was general manager, and they did a big reorg in our company, which resulted in a demotion for me. And so I had found myself at a crossroads saying, you know, what am I going to do next? Because I just kept thinking, I didn't come this far. And so I had to make a decision whether or not I was going to stay with corporate or make another move. And so I had been praying about it, and I remember being on a 30-day timeline because I had sold my house. And so day one, I was stressed out, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And day six, I had been praying and was laying there thinking, and I thought, you know, over the years, I have had a lot of conversations with people about my story. And I have found that there was a lot of power in sharing my story. And so, and telling people the struggles that I had been through, I had received messages and had conversations with people where they said, you know what, because you shared your story, I feel like I can share mine too. Or because you shared your story, I realize that I'm not alone. And I had just, over the years, had received so many messages and had those conversations. And I kept thinking, there's just got to be something more. This can't be all that my life is made for, is to work for 7 years and then turn around and lose my job, basically. And so out of the blue, I thought, you know what? There's got to be something we can do with this. And so I'm going to go home. And I'm going to grab Cindy, and I'm going to get people up in front of everyone to share their stories, because I think in a small community like ours, it's really easy to judge each other. It's really easy to feel isolated and just worried about what everyone else is doing. And if we break down those walls for a minute and we start talking to each other and we start relating and understanding each other, what will happen? Maybe we'll become more of a community that supports each other rather than judges each other. And so that's what we did. So it was about 2 years ago. It was the first thing I did when I came home. I had 5 people from Winnemac get together, and we organized an event, and all 5 of us shared our stories to people in Winnemac.
And so that event was in January, right?
It was.
So it was a cold, snowy, awful weather winter day in the middle of a cold, snowy, awful winter. And yet you had quite a turnout from the community.
Yeah, we had, I believe it was over 80 people. And I was stressed that day because I thought, oh no, we're going to have to cancel this. We've, you know, organized this. But people still showed up, and we had, it was amazing. And, you know, I kind of figured when I organized the event, I thought, okay, one of 2 things is going to happen here. People are going to come because they support each other and they know the speakers, or they're going to come because we're nosy, because we're a small town.
Right. So that's, I guess kind of where I was getting at though, with awful weather. And, I mean, there's no requirement to go. I think like it wasn't part of a church or a school or anything. Like it was just, you know, this new thing. So why do you think these people from the community came and to listen to 5 women tell stories about themselves in the theater in town on a stupid cold day? So why do you think people came to that?
Because we're nosy.
Okay.
No. But, you know, I think that people were curious, and we had spent a lot of time working up to the event talking about what it means to be a warrior, right? So we called it the Warrior Speaker Series for a couple reasons. Obviously, our community, Winnemac Warriors, but there's a whole other meaning to being a warrior, to being strong and continuing to fight through hard battles. And so Cindy and I had actually done a lot of advertising and marketing talking about sharing our stories. And I had kind of, when I introduced the event, told, you know, the reason why. And we'd went around asking people in the community, what does being a warrior mean to you? And so that really started kind of this momentum. And it was really cool because people started posting videos and posts, tagging their friends and family in that they thought, why they thought those people were warriors. And so I think it was just something different. And people didn't really know what to expect. Some people thought it was an all-women event, which was not intentional. We just happened to have all-women speakers.
This sounds kind of neat, but I don't think it's for me.
Yeah. So, but I think it was out of curiosity. And then, of course, again, the support. And I intentionally only picked people from our community. I did that on purpose. I didn't want people coming to an event and not really knowing who the speaker was. Maybe they recognized the topic. But I wanted it to be real people from our community that people could relate to say, you know what, I've thought this about this person, or maybe, I don't know, maybe you've judged in a way that, you know, I actually had someone, I will say, they came to the event, and they had told me later on, they said, you know what, I was really leery of coming to this. And I said, why? And they said, well, because I didn't care for some of the speakers. I didn't want to go. And then she said to me, but I went, and I'm so glad that I did, because I didn't realize what that person had been through, and I see them in a whole new light and respect them in a whole new way because I came to your event. That's what we need to do. We need to break down those walls. We need to break down that judgment and see each other for who we are and support each other.
And so that kind of leads to the next question. I mean, you were one of the speakers, and I know you've talked with the others probably several times after the event. How did sharing those stories impact the people that spoke, right? So what was the effect on the five women that spoke? What was the impact of sharing their stories in their hometown?
I can't speak directly for the other ones that spoke. Okay. I would say their experience is probably very similar. But I know for me, my motivation when I'm going through something hard is knowing that there's people watching and that there's people that need to hear what I have to say. And so I'm not the traditional, I'm going to sugarcoat stuff. I'm going to tell you how it is. And if I'm having a hard day and I'm going through something, I'm going to tell you how it is. Because people need to hear those things too. And so over time, through sharing so much, I've had so many people reach out, and that it has helped them. You know, I've had people say, you know, you pulled me out of this, or you said this thing, and I was going through a really hard time. And at the time that I started the Warrior Speaker Series or thought of the idea, I was going through a really heavy depression. I mean, I had just lost my job, basically, and was, you know, moving, and I honestly had no idea what I was about to do. But I knew that I had people counting on me because I had always been that rock for people, and I had never been the person at the bottom looking for help. I had always been the person pulling other people out of the help. And so for me, personally, it's the conversations that happen afterwards. It's the messages. Mm-hmm. It's talking with people, about real things. I mean, we talked about addiction. We talked about, molestation and, rape, and we talked about just some really, really heavy topics. And when you get done sharing that, and then after the event, somebody comes up and they say, hey, I've been there too. Thank you. I understand what you went through. I needed to hear that, or it's good to know that I'm not alone. I think that's the reason why we share, is because we see the change that we can make in other people through doing that.
And that was going to be the next question was kind of...
Am I taking your notes?
No, you're just, like usual, 10 steps ahead of where I'm going. But the response from the community, the feedback you got from the people that attended, or maybe even people that didn't attend, but what was the response to hearing people's stories? And I know you've already started to touch on that, but...
Yeah, I think people wanted to hear more. And the intention was really to continue the event year over year. And, you know, when I did the event, I didn't ask for any help doing it. I paid for everything out of pocket. But what was amazing is after the event, we already had people walking up and saying, I want to speak next year, or I want to sponsor. I mean, I had multiple businesses come up and say, how do I sponsor this next year? And so it was just, I think it hit a need in the community that we didn't already have to say, this is real life. Let's talk about it. So, I think that's the impact it's had on the community, and I think it will continue to. And I guess since I mentioned it being an annual event, it's not been yet. that's been the intention, and Cindy and I have both had a lot going on. But the exciting news is because it was so well received, the plan is to turn the Warrior Speaker Series into a nonprofit. And so I'm in the works of doing that right now, and then the event will follow or fall under the nonprofit every year and get it going for the community.
I know this is probably a bit of speculation on your part, but I'll ask your opinion anyways. What do you think the response or what would have been different if you would have went out and brought in a hired gun from somewhere outside the community as an outsider and came in and said, this is my story, like people that they didn't know, but maybe was a professional speaker or something like that. Like, do you think the fact that it was, and I know you already mentioned this a little bit, but that it was local people that, you know, I went to school with that person, or this is my neighbor, or I worked with this person, or I know that person and I know their story, or I don't like that person even. What do you think the impact of it being local mm-hmm. people, made a difference versus, you know, a world-renowned speaker even.
I'm sure that having someone that was, you know, famous and well-known, the speeches probably would have been better, and there was probably, you know, probably would have been more of a performance versus, you know, the five of us just getting up and doing our thing. But again, I don't think people would relate as much. And I think that, you know, you can hear a motivational speaker and they're great and they have an awesome story to tell. But I think it's different when you're hearing people that you see every day or that you pass in the hallway at school or something like that. I think it really relates to us a lot more if it's from our own community. And so it's not to say that later on there might not be some other speakers, but I didn't want to lose that because that was really the whole purpose mm-hmm. is looking out and seeing each other, you know, and knowing that this is a face of somebody that you see on a regular basis and they've been through something, but look where they're at now. I think that speaks volume compared to somebody speaking that we don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, the point of this obviously isn't a commercial for the Warrior Speaker Series. It's to talk about the effect of sharing a story. You know, the scripture that we looked at was Jesus telling this man to go and to tell what God has done in his life to a people that were terrified of Jesus. Like the outsider, we don't want anything to do with him, even though he brought healing, like even though he had resources that they didn't have, even though he could do the things that they couldn't do for themselves. Jesus sent this man in kind of as a missionary to tell his story. But why do you think people are so hesitant to kind of be honest with themselves and to share their stories? That's kind of part one of the question. And part two is, and again, this is just speculation on your part, and you can throw it back at me if you want to. Do you think it's easier or more difficult to share your story in a religious context? Because I know the Warrior Speaker Series wasn't specifically a faith-based thing. It wasn't part of a church or anything like that. But I think everybody that participated in speaking has some sort of faith element to it, at least from what I gathered. But
Well, and that was just actually a coincidence. So when... You know, when we organized it, I intentionally did not make it a faith-based thing because there might be someone out there that doesn't share a faith and belief, and I didn't want them to feel like they couldn't come because it was a church-organized event. But what was interesting, I will say, is that all of our stories did have a faith foundation, and that was not a requirement to be a speaker. And what was even more interesting is when we asked people what they want to see in the future, they said more faith-based, which was very surprising. Mm. I forgot your question.
why do you think people are so hesitant to share their stories, whether it be in a religious setting or not?
I think that being vulnerable is a really, really hard thing for us to do. And I think there's fear. I think there's worry that, you know, what are people going to think about me? You know, I thought about that. I mean, I came from a professional business background, but to sit in front of people and say, hey, I was depressed. You know, I went through this. I have anxiety. Or to tell people I've been molested or I've been raped, and to say those words out loud, people think of, they're thrown off by that. And that takes a lot of courage to say those things out loud. And, so I think that's what it comes down to is fear. I think it comes down to judgment. Whether or not it changes in a religious environment, I don't know. I mean, maybe sometimes if everyone else is kind of doing it, it's not normal for people to just start telling their story, right? So if we're sitting here as a church and we're having these discussions, maybe it's more likely for someone else to stand up and say, hey, I want to share their story, my story. And maybe that's what we're trying to do here. But I think too, we look at other people's lives and we think that everyone else's life is perfect. We think that everyone has it together, right? We look at social media, we look at Instagram, we look at Facebook, and we're always comparing and saying, I am a mess compared to these people. What are they doing? They have it figured out and I don't have a clue what I'm doing. But that's not true. And I think that's why I share the truth. That's why, you know, I'm not going to post everything that's perfect. I'm going to tell you the hard parts because that's what people really need to hear.
Next question, as we kind of get ready to kind of get to the point and land the thing, a bit of a, not stumper, a weird question though. Are you a theologian? Like, do you have PhDs in faith-based things? Have you spent years studying the Bible at a professional level? Are you a pastor? Are you a minister? Are those requirements to being able to tell what God is doing in your life, to tell your story?
Absolutely not. Right. That's why I have you co-hosting a podcast with me and being the expert for the Bible. So I didn't grow up going to church. I haven't read the whole Bible, I'll tell you that. And there's a lot of things in the Bible and stories that I still have never heard and don't understand. But what I do have is experience. And I have experience being at my lowest points and not having anything else to hold on to except for my faith. When I came home, I literally had no idea what I was going to do. That's the first time. I'm a very organized, very planned out person. I don't do things on a whim. But when I came home, I said, okay, God, I literally have no idea what this next step in my life is. But I need to trust that me moving home is the best decision and that you already have a plan for me. And that's what I did. But it's not because I have a PhD in knowing the Bible.
Right. I guess it's kind of a weird question. But the man in the story wanted to follow Jesus and spend time with him. And Jesus said, no, just go tell your story. And to tell your own story doesn't require expertise. It doesn't require years of study. It doesn't require, to tell your own story. Yeah, you can grow as you say, well, what's God doing in this or through it? That's a growing experience. And I think we're constantly should be seeking to interpret our lives through a lens of faith. But I guess the whole point of it was that you don't have to be an expert on God to be able to talk about what God's doing in your life.
Do you have to be possessed by demons? Because I was getting a little worried where that scripture was going before he invited me up.
I mean, no. If it helps, there's another story where the blind man's healed and he goes, I don't know what Jesus did, but I was blind a minute ago, and now I can see.
I was questioning this sermon a little bit today, going, okay, Tanner, that is the scripture you happen to use.
Right, no.
But you made your point.
I wanted to work in the history stuff. I like that. Like, I wanted to point out just how this man was representative of an entire community that had experienced great loss, had been overrun by a people that was way more powerful. They'd grieved, they'd experienced disruption in their lives that many of us will never, ever know. And Jesus shows up and brings healing, and they were still afraid of it. And Jesus' answer, Jesus' way of bringing health and healing to this community wasn't by him just going around performing miracles all over the place. It was by saying, God has done something in your life. Just go tell people what God has done. And I mean, it wasn't a Jewish community. So he didn't even say, hey, bring your friends to temple on Sunday. Like, it was just go tell and share your faith with others. So this is an obvious question, though, as kind of the last one I got for you. But would you encourage other people to put some thought into planning out their own story so that they are more comfortable telling their story to others?
Of course. But what I will say is you don't have to have it planned out either. Mm-hmm. I would encourage people to be okay with being open and vulnerable and talking to each other. I mean, that's really what it's about. It doesn't have to be a recorded story. It doesn't have to be up here on stage sharing it. But just start talking to each other and having conversation. Because, again, when we do that, we find connections that we didn't know existed. And, everyone sitting out here right now, I mean, I'm sure we each have a story. Everyone has their own story. And there's probably a lot more similarities in our stories with the person sitting next to you than you ever realized. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I always encourage everyone to share their story. Always.
Cool. Well, that's all the questions I have for you. Is that good?
Are you telling me to get off stage? No,
I mean, not telling you to get off stage. But to Marcy's point, everybody has a story. And you may see it through a lens of faith. You may not understand what God was doing at that point in your life. And honestly, one story is probably many stories put together, right? Like, I have this story of when I was in college, and I have this story of when I was, at this job. And as a church, as a pastor, one of the things I want to encourage us, I think that one of the transformative ways that our church can impact our community is by just doing what this man was told to do. Just go share your faith, share your story with others. And so we created a email address that I want to share with you. It would have been on the screen if my slides would have worked today. We'll push it out on the Facebook page. And I guess that's a side note. If you don't follow us on Facebook, find the Facebook page. The church puts out a couple posts a week on stuff. But the website, the email address is sharemystory@winnaz.org. And I want to encourage you, as you think about what God has been doing in your life, either right now or over the years or a long time ago, and you have a story that, like, this is my God story. This is something I want other people to know. I want to hear that. So take some time, put it together in an email, and email it to sharemystory@winnaz.org. And then we may, won't obviously do this without permission, but we may come knocking and say, hey, would you have any interest in recording a video, that 3-4 minute video that talks about your story, and share them on Sunday mornings and as a celebration of what God is doing in us and amongst us. It's so awesome to read Bible stories about what God had done through Jesus 2,000 years ago. It's so great to sit and listen and hear what God has doing in us and through us and amongst us today. So I hope to see some emails from you guys, or if you're not an emailer, just come talk to me about your story at some time. But I'd like to kind of encourage you to get used to thinking about your own story in the lens of, what is God doing in my life? And how can I share, whether it be the best thing that ever happened to me, you know, I walked around the corner and there was $1 million sitting there, or the worst thing that ever happened to me, through the lens of, well, God was working in me, even in this hard time. God was at work in my life. So I invite the worship team to come. Somebody may have to grab Jessica out of the back if they haven't done that already. And we'll close just with a time of worship and a time of prayer. As we've done the last couple weeks, we've designated altars, and this will be an ongoing thing. So if you feel led to pray, this one over here, you can come and pray, and nobody will bother you. Somebody might come and pray for you, but they won't ask you what's going on. They won't tell you need to do anything after service. It's just a place and time to pray. If you go to that one over there, by where the cross is at, I'll meet you there, and I'll ask you what I can pray for you about. I'll ask if you want anointed with oil, and we can have a conversation about what's going on, either in your life or in the lives of those that you care about. So those are the two altars. Feel free to... Good, stool's gone. Make use of those. Otherwise, I invite you to stand and just worship with us.
Well, that wraps up the bonus episode for the All Connected podcast. Hope that was helpful, or at least a good discussion there at the end. Maybe you didn't grow up in a church environment and aren't quite sure what sermons and, you know, what do we do as a church on Sunday morning. So maybe that's a little peek behind the curtains of the way church works, or at least Winnemac Church of the Nazarene, where I'm pastor. So thanks for joining us. Feel free to share your God story using that email address that I shared with the church, that sharemystory@winnaz.org, if you want to. We'd love to hear what God is up to in your life, or maybe you've never even thought of it in that context. Maybe something you thought was going to be really bad turned out really good, or you just had some good stuff going on and the right doors were opening for you. And so maybe you just really feel the urge to share what God's doing in your life. Feel free to shoot us an email there, or even comment on the Facebook page. But also, if you're kind of in a place where you're looking for a community of faith to call your own, or you've got this itch to dive a little bit deeper, or you have questions about faith and God and all of that, feel free to connect with us through the church, Winnemac Church of the Nazarene, here in Winnemac, Indiana. We've got a Facebook page. If you want to hear more sermons, just so you know that that's not like a one-off fluke, like that was the best ever and the rest of them are garbage or something. If you want to check those out, you can go to the website, winnaz.org, or each week's sermons are published through iTunes podcast app. So Just search for Winnemac Church in the Nazarene there, and you'll find us. Hope this was worth your while, and we should have some new episodes coming your way very, very soon. We're excited to continue to walk with you as the All Connected Podcast and to share stories about living lives that are on mission, filled with purpose, that bring healing and redemption in places of darkness or brokenness. So it's been good with you to be with you, and we'll be chatting with you again soon.